Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm Matthew Atkins alongside my co-host Trey Lyle. We are doing this podcast in person once again. We're back on my front porch. It's a beautiful day here in Richmond, Virginia. So we're doing another front porch recording for today's edition of Foulball Area. We are currently in the division series, the ALDS and the NLDS, and there is a lot to talk about. So we are looking forward to diving into those series and going over the MLB postseason on today's episode. Trey, how are you doing today?
Doing really good, you know, another day, another week, and got some stuff cooking on the personal side that is going to be some good news coming out soon. Feels good about that. And but glad to be here with you again. Both of us rocking the jerseys today.
Yeah, you got your Yankees jersey on. Is that Jeter?
It is Jeter, the guy who made me fall in love with a game of baseball, Derek Jeter, whose team right now in the Miami Marlins as we sit currently up 4-1 over your Atlanta Braves as you're rocking the Braves colors right now. Not looking good so far other than that leadoff home run from Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, as you guys know, we usually record on Tuesday to put our podcast out on Wednesday. So as we're recording, well, it's now 4-2. I don't know what just happened, but it's 4-2. The Marlins lead the Braves as they're playing in the bottom of the third inning. Try to figure out what just happened. It was Marcelo Zuna, RBI double, that scored Ronald Acuna Jr. So Acuna led off the game with the home run for the Braves, and now he comes around to score. He's 1-for-1 with 2 runs and an RBI so far. It's 3:12 p.m. on Tuesday, and we now got the Braves game up. So here we go. We'll be able to talk about that throughout the podcast today. Of course, it'll be outdated by the time you guys listen, but oh well, that's how it works.
Just note, my notes are on my computer, so I might have to pull it back. But I think I know. I only have one big thing. Most of this stuff is in my noggin already from my studying that we did coming in to this podcast. But fun times here. Big double by Ozuna, but Ronald Acuna Jr., man, he's having a heck of a start to the NLDS.
Yeah. I mean, leading off with a home run, that's what he does, is lead off home runs. Does it better than anybody else in Major League Baseball right now.
So, Matt, did you see, speaking of Ronald Acuna Jr., is having a great start to the postseason, ESPN and 538 did a piece on who's the Latin face of baseball.
I did not see that.
So, if you could guess, who do you think it would be?
I mean, I'm biased, so I'm going to say Ronald Acuna Jr., but I would say they probably would choose Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah,
at this point.
It was ended up being Fernando Tatis, and they broke it down to, play, marketability, which actually, surprisingly, for Francisco Lindor led in social media acclaim.
Yeah.
But it was really cool how they broke it down and the different statistics, but it ended up being Tatis. But Acuna was in it. Juan Soto was in it. Fernando Tatis was in it. And I think Carlos Correa was another one of those Latin American players that that were going to be the face of Latin baseball, which is a big thing in the landscape of baseball as a whole.
Yeah, I'll have to find that and check that out. It sounds really interesting. I'm not surprised that they would end up choosing Fernando Tatis Jr., but sounds like an interesting article. Since we have the Braves game on right now and we're talking about the Braves, let's dive into the MLB postseason. We are currently in the division series, the ALDS and the NLDS going on.
In the bubble.
Yeah, they are in Texas and California. It's been exciting so far. The two games on Monday night, the Yankees game, I mean, what is it? Every time that we think there's going to be a pitcher's duel with the Yankees, it ends up being a big offensive night. I mean, Gerrit Cole has pitched very well both times. In the wild card round, he pitched well against the Indians. Shane Bieber did not. We expected that to be a big pitcher's duel, but the Yankees ended up dominating that game. And then on Monday night in the ALDS, Cole pitched well again against the Rays. Blake Snell did not pitch so well, and it was a 9-3 victory for the Yankees. So every time that they hype it up as a pitcher's duel, the Yankees offense just comes alive.
I mentioned this yesterday on my Twitter account, @TreyLyle. about the Yankees bats are back. This is the Yankees team we've seen this postseason. We expected to see all year, and it might be just because of injuries and mismanaged lineups. You think about this. A lineup that features Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. Best two hitters are DJ LeMahieu, which I think you could argue is maybe the best hitter, pure hitter in baseball, and Luke Voit.
Yeah, I mean, definitely this
year. That's the dangerous nature of that lineup, and it proved last night. And here's something I didn't realize. Giancarlo Stanton's best ballpark that maybe he's not at home is San Diego. He's had some of the most success there, and he's going to play all his postseason games until he gets to the World Series in Petco. That's a factor that I didn't realize. Did you? Like, I didn't think about it until he hit that monstrous grand slam last night. The New York.
I did see MLB post about it on social media, because in Petco Park he won the World Baseball Classic with Team USA, and he won the Home Run Derby in Petco Park. So he likes that ballpark, and he proved it again last night.
He's a Cali kid, man. He loves that Southern California air, as you mentioned last night, and what a grand slam. And I tweeted it right after he hit it. That's the reason the New York Yankees traded for Giancarlo Stanton. That is the reason right there. I was cool driving home last night, was listening to the game through Dan Shulman on ESPN Radio. Kind of got my old Sunday Night Baseball feels going in that one. But good first day of the ALDS. We had the upset. The Houston Astros decided, hey, we should play like the 2019 Houston Astros this postseason. And they continue that with a big day yesterday, winning, I believe, 10-3 was the final score?
10-5
yeah. Final score. And Carlos Correa must love October 5th because he hit another home run on October 5th.
And he's done that, what, 3 years in a row now?
3 years in a row. He's hit a home run on October 5th. So yeah. Shout out to that. And the two observations I take from yesterday, the New York Yankees are what we thought they were at the beginning of the season now, at least through the first four games of this postseason, or three games. They've played three games of this postseason. They play their fourth tonight. So before, by the time everyone is listening to this, and the Houston Astros look more like the 2019 Houston Astros than the 2020 Houston Astros. And we'll go into our picks, I think, later. But that was my two big takeaways from the first night. What about yours?
Yeah, I think that the Oakland A's are failing America right now because everybody is rooting against the Astros, obviously due to the sign-stealing, cheating scandal that came out in the offseason. They still haven't lived that down. Everybody is still mad at the Astros. And so the majority of Americans are rooting against Houston. And so it's up to the A's to knock them out. It was up to the Twins. They couldn't do it. Now it's the A's turn. And so far, they're not able to do it either. So the Oakland A's are failing America. Tonight's game, Tuesday night, should be a good game. Framber Valdez versus Sean Manea on the mound for the Astros and the A's should be a good matchup. The game one between the Yankees and the Rays, it was, like I said, expected it to be a pitcher's duel. The Yankees offense dominated. Their offense just looks too good right now for any great pitcher to be able to stop them. So I'm liking the Yankees right now. I know you really are too, but great game one from the Yankees. I want to talk about the Marlins a little bit because you're right. We are going to talk about our predictions in a few minutes, and I did not predict the Marlins to go any further than the NLDS, but they look good. They beat the Cubs in two games.
And swept them.
Every time that they make the postseason, which is only three times.
They win.
The two previous times they've won the World Series.
Yeah.
This is the third time. So we'll have to see what they end up doing. I obviously hope that they don't go any further than this series because that would mean they would knock out the Braves. But they look good. And it's like, what is happening? They're the Marlins. They're not supposed to be good. They're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah. And also give Don Mattingly his due. Like, I think he got criticized a lot with the Dodgers just because of how good those rosters were and never really winning. But he showed his ability, how great of a manager he was. Because just to win that many division titles in L.A. was difficult. You just look all over baseball right now. Like, just to win consistently like he did in Los Angeles was hard. Granted, yes, were expectations higher than with the Marlins? They were, but now he's taken this Marlins team to the postseason, and you could argue he's the manager of the year.
Yeah, I think he would definitely have to be NL manager of the year after this season. Nobody expected the Marlins to get to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Especially during their COVID outbreak. Nobody expected them to be here. I mean, props to them. I'm saying they're not supposed to be here, but they have played really well this year. It's just no one expected that from them. And, you know, you can say it's because of the expanded playoffs, but even getting there, like, people thought the Phillies would be good. Some people thought the Mets would be good. The Marlins are the team that ended up making the postseason from the NL East behind the Braves. Even with the expanded playoffs, props to them for playing well, beating out the Phillies and the Mets and the Nationals and making the postseason. Great season for Miami. I did not expect it. Like I said, I hope they don't go any further because I want the Braves to win, but every time they make the playoffs, they win the World Series. We'll have to see if that trend continues. And the other series that we haven't talked about yet, the Padres and the Dodgers. Game one, of course, tonight, Tuesday night, when we're recording, so it'll already be over by the time you guys listen to this episode. But Mike Clevinger going against Walker Buehler on the mound. Clevinger did not get to pitch in the wild card round. It almost cost the Padres that series. I think they were struggling a little bit against the Cardinals, but they were able to beat them and knock them out in three games. They could have used Clevinger on the mound, but he was injured. Now he's back, ready to go for game one against the Dodgers, and I think that's going to be huge for the Padres.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to favor the Dodgers in that series, but if you ask me, would you be surprised if the Padres win that series? Absolutely not. Their bats are that good, but you're throwing out Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw in the first two games.
And Clayton Kershaw had a fantastic start in the wild card round, by the way, for the Dodgers. 13 strikeouts, the third Dodger pitcher to ever have a 13-strikeout game in the postseason.
And the Dodgers have the best lineup in baseball, up and down. I mean, it's loaded. I think it's just too much talent. The Dodgers have too much good baseball players to really be challenged in the National League. Even though I picked the Braves to win it all, I think for the Padres, I don't see it. I don't see the Dodgers. I see the Dodgers handling them, but it wouldn't surprise me if San Diego got it done. And part of me kind of wants to see San Diego pull off the upset because they're a fun team to watch. And I was having a ball watching that Cardinals series, especially those last two games. Like, Tatis's bat flip when he hit the home run, I know people are like comparing it to the Jose Bautista bat flip. I mean, that doesn't belong. Jose Bautista's bat flip is the greatest bat flip of all time. There's no arguments, but it was a fun team to watch. And it's going to be, I think, the crazy part about this, I could see three really fun games coming out of that series and the Dodgers getting the sweep. I could also see it going five games. I could see it San Diego sweeping them. I don't think that's going to happen, but
basically it could go any which
that
way.
That series, I think, I don't want to say it's the most up in the air, but I think it's the most unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because I would argue there's series that are closer in terms of teams. Like, I'd argue Houston, the way they're playing now, in Oakland is a closer matchup. Or even the Yankees-Rays is a closer matchup in terms of team's talent. But in terms of the unpredictability, just the way those lineups are, the games could be, I'll take the Padres and the Dodgers. It's probably the most exciting series as we look at it.
So those are each of the division series that are going on this week. Let's talk a little bit about our predictions that we made for the rest of the postseason. We'll start with mine. Winning the ALDS between the Yankees and the Rays, I chose the Rays to advance out of that series. And the other ALDS, the Astros and the A's, I picked the A's to win that series and move on to the ALCS. In the National League, I have the Dodgers and the Braves advancing. And then to the World Series, I have the Rays and the Dodgers, with the Dodgers taking home the World Series championship. Trey's predictions a little bit different.
Completely opposite, basically. So I have the Yankees and the Astros. And then, just for satisfaction, I have the Yankees beating the Astros, hopefully in a sweep, just to, you know, fill my soul with good. And on the other side, I have the Dodgers. That's where we're similar, and the Braves. So similar on the NL to our NLCS. But I still am riding with the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, going to the World Series. And I'm going back to what I said at the beginning of the season. The New York Yankees beat the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. I'm just, I, I, I'm riding with my team. I know this is really biased. I'm also very biased for our podcast because great episodes would be ahead if we had a Yankees Braves World Series. So, you know what? For the betterment of our podcast and the betterment, really, of me, as I will now have two teams in the championship because I know the Eagles aren't going to make it. The Miami Heat right now in it. And, you know, if you want to make fun of me for my teams, I've liked them my whole life, whatever that may be. But give me the Yankees because they look like what I thought the Yankees would be at the beginning of the year. And they beat the Rays. As I'll even go with a bold prediction, Davey Garcia outduels Tyler Glasnow tonight on Tuesday night. That would make us feel old, as he's 20 years old, and we're 23 years old.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
outduels him, and the Yankees go up 2-0 before this podcast drops tonight.
All right. Davey Garcia outdueling Tyler Glasnow. I don't know about that. It's possible. You know, I would love a Braves-Yankees World Series. I think that would be very exciting, and we might have to do, like, an episode every day during that World Series.
We might have to.
If that happens. That would be a very exciting matchup. A lot of trash talk. We'd have to put some big money on that also. That would be good. That would be good. So those are our predictions for the rest of the MLB postseason. It's going to be a very exciting rest of the postseason. And, you know, one of the things that I didn't really realize until I was looking at the schedule the other day is that there are no off days. It's just game after game after game all week long. The ALDS, Monday through Friday, 5 games, and then they get a day off Saturday, and then Sunday the ALCS begins. It is no
pitching,
days off.
Pitching, 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 pitching. It's going to be the biggest thing. And so...
And that's why I don't have the Braves advancing further than the NLCS.
Is their pitching.
Yeah.
That's
fair. They cannot match
up with
the Dodgers
pitching. And speaking of pitching, I thought of something last night and I texted you during the Yankees game.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Kyle Higashioka, I'm going to call him Kyle for the rest of this bit, hit a home run in the fifth inning to spark the Yankees' lead. Him and Judge hit a home run in the fifth, each hit a solo to take the lead and get control of that game. It is now the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. That means he will have a spot on the Yankees roster as long as Gerrit Cole is with the New York Yankees for a while to come. Who do you think has a better batting average between him and the everyday, quote-unquote, catcher in Gary Sanchez? If you would guess...
I mean, if I would guess, I would probably say Gary Sanchez, but because you're asking me, I feel like it's not Gary Sanchez.
You are correct. It is the man from Huntington Beach, California, the righty. It's Kyle. Kyle, who has a .250 batting average, granted less at-bats than Gary, and Gary's just struggled this year. He's 147, 10 home runs, 24 RBIs, a .618 on-base percentage. Higashioka has a .771 on base percentage, 10 RBIs, and 4 home runs, and granted, less at-bats. And you are the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. If you're the New York Yankees, and your hole is starting pitching, still, probably that second starting pitcher, granted, you'll get Luis Severino back, but he's going to come off Tommy John, so you don't know how he is. Tanaka's hit or miss. You have a young talent in Davey Garcia. Diego Germán was activated today and will be back next year. It seems like your rotation is set, but do you go get a great starting pitcher by trading Gary Sanchez? If I'm Brian Cashman, I do, because here's the thing. What's coming up? Who's got to get paid? Gleyber Torres has got to get paid. DJ LeMahieu's got to get paid. Aaron Judge has got to get paid. You have a lot of money on Gerrit Cole. You have a lot of money on Giancarlo Stanton. There's an odd man out, and it's clearly going to be Gary Sanchez, as he's been the most hit or miss of all of them. And he's, I won't say a defensive liability at catcher. He's improved. He's made great strides. But, I mean, if you get a guy in Higashioka that can hit .225, .250, and contribute, you don't need Gary Sanchez. You have enough power hitters in your lineup. Get a guy who can get on base and shore up your defense at the catcher position.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you make a good point, but what caliber of a starting pitcher could you get for Gary Sanchez? Because you're listing reasons why he's not a good catcher here. So,
but also, here's the thing. When he's at his best, he's the best hitting catcher in baseball.
Yeah. When he's at his best, though. So I don't know what kind of return you're going to get for him. You might be able to get somebody good, but if you're listing off all these reasons why you don't want him, you got to build him up.
Well, that's Brian Cashman's job, not mine. But you see, my point is I think you can get a starting pitcher, but you don't need an ace. You have your ace. You need a guy, a number two guy. Like, a guy you can send in game two and you know will go deep. If you get two guys in a series for the Yankees, in a seven-game series that you'll know go deep, with that bullpen?
Yeah.
How great is that team?
That would be then they would really be unbeatable.
You need a guy you could trust to go 5 to 6 innings in a game two. You don't need a Garrett Cole. Like, you don't even need a Zach Greinke or a... I was thinking Mike Clevinger. I don't know the contract situation, and I don't know if the Padres would be willing to get him because I know they have issues at catcher right now. They had Aaron Nola switch over to catcher and basically play a position he's not fully used to. So think about a team that it wants to add some more bats. You trade him to San Diego, and maybe you get Mike Clevinger, which I don't think they will. They invested too much into Mike Clevinger. But that's kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, I get it. Yeah. Could be a good move. Maybe you should call up Brian Cashman and suggest that to him.
Hire me, Brian Cashman.
Yeah. All right. So that's Trey's big trade proposal for the New York Yankees to improve their team going forward. We've talked about our predictions. We looked at each series in the division round. That's about it for the postseason news that we have to talk about. But some other news that's floating around Major League Baseball. Theo Epstein, the president of the Chicago Cubs, may be leaving after the 2021 season. He said in an interview with The Athletic, quote, "I've been transparent about my feeling that after a certain period of time, there can be real benefit for both an individual leader and for the organization for some change," end quote. So Epstein could be on the move after the 2021 season. He, of course, in my opinion, I think he's, you know, future Hall of Fame executive, won a World Series or two World Series with the Boston Red Sox, or did he win three there? I don't know.
He won two. I think he was gone before they won their third, I think.
Yeah, two with the Red Sox, then one with the Cubs. Broke curses in both cities. I mean,
broke
he's an all-time...
He broke the two biggest curses in baseball.
Yeah, he's an all-time great executive. So wherever he goes after Chicago...
You could argue he's the greatest executive of all time.
Yeah, you definitely could.
And this is a similar thing he did in Boston. He ran his time out, and he's like... He moved on to Chicago, and it makes sense. I think he's been there, and the Cubs feel kind of stale at this point. And it happens. Like, you see it all the time in sports where you have this longevity with one team, and it just becomes stale, and you can't figure out how to fix it, and you need fresh eyes. So for the Cubs, like, they brought in David Ross, and I think he did a lot of good things, and the Cubs still have, I think they have World Series talent. Like, Chris Bryant should be one of the best players in baseball.
Should be.
Anthony Rizzo, one of the best first basemans. Javi Baez, I know earlier in the podcast we forgot to mention his name when he came to the face of Latin baseball. One of the great players in our game. I mean,
best second baseman in
best
baseball.
Second baseman probably in baseball. They have... I think starting pitching is their issue. I mean, obviously, Yu Darvish had a great year. Kyle Hendricks has been, Kyle Hendricks. Probably their bullpen. I'd actually correct that and say their bullpen is their weakness on their team. But also, they need to find a leadoff hitter. Like, what? Their lineup was great, and then Dexter Fowler goes to St. Louis, and their lineup is just not been it. They can't figure out that leadoff spot. I mean, they put Chris Bryant there this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it would probably be good for both ends to have a change, unless they can really turn it around and go on a winning run next year.
Yeah.
Then maybe they keep him around. But if they don't get very far next year, I think it would be good for both ends to have a change. The Cubs could bring someone else in. They could try something new, and Theo Epstein could go to...
The Los Angeles Angels. I'm saying it right now. Joe, he already's worked well with Joe Madden. And please help Mike Trout. Like, if baseball is smart, they just, like, make Theo Epstein fix the Angels.
I was going to say the Texas Rangers, the San Diego Padres.
The Los Angeles Angels.
I'm thinking teams that have never won a World Series.
No, Los Angeles Angels. We need to put Mike Trout in the postseason.
We do.
We need to fix baseball and put Mike Trout in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I don't know if he'd want to work with Joe Maddon again.
I don't care. Make him. Like, if I'm the Angels, now that you fired your GM, or your GM stepped down, right?
They fired him.
They fired him.
Yeah.
You go after him. And if I'm the Philadelphia Phillies, I do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's going to leave this offseason, though. So those two teams are out of luck unless they want to bring in GM in for one year and fire them.
I call him right now. I'd shoot your shot. I'd shoot your shot. If he has thoughts about it, it wouldn't hurt.
Can't hurt to try. Shoot your shot. There you go. That's the
It's advice not just in baseball, but in life.
Shoot your shot.
You miss 100% shots you don't take. Michael Scott. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
You tried. Good try. That's all I've got.
Good job. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you go to our website, foulballarea.com. Subscribe to the podcast on your platforms. For Trey Lyle, that was Matthew Atkins. Signing off for now. Listen to us next week as we'll talk all things postseason baseball.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.